From 1 Timothy, and I want to read to you just a couple of verses of scripture in the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. I want to just notice the uniqueness of that language again. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And I want to concentrate our attention on that 14th verse. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. And I'd like to speak to you tonight for a few moments on this subject, the gift of prophecy, the gift of prophecy. Could you lift up your voices one more time? Lift up your hands unto the Lord. And let's ask him to move through the preaching of his word. God, I thank you that your holy presence is in this house. Move, I pray, in the name of Jesus upon our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear and to receive the word of the Lord. God, let your word be a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Help us to receive it into our souls. Help us to be stirred, challenged, changed, anointed by the word of God that will not return void. I pray for an anointing upon the preacher and upon the people as the word of God goes forth. And in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about prophecy. It's kind of an intimidating word, a word that perhaps you never considered ever applying to yourself, but it's a word that occurs and reoccurs, emerges and reemerges throughout the scriptures. And in fact, the Bible is a book of prophecy. Prophecy is not a scary word. It's not a spooky thing, if you please. In fact, prophecy is the basis of all the Word of God. And I want you to, when you leave here tonight, by the grace of God and by the help of God, I want you to have a grasp of this gift that is indeed a gift of the Spirit. I want you to be able to utilize it in your own life. I want you to be able to employ it in your own spiritual battles, because it is a gift from God to his church. And that is you. If you have not repented of your sins, tonight would be a good night to repent of your sins. If you have never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, tonight would be a good night to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. If you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, tonight would be a good night to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so you are the church. You are God's chosen people. When you come into this kingdom, you are born into this kingdom. And the Lord has gifts for his people. And these gifts allow us to live for him and to serve him and to effectively walk with him. And the gift that I'm going to be talking to you about tonight is a gift that God wants to be in your heart. He wants to put it into your hand. It is the whole purpose of the Bible. The scripture says that the scriptures were not given by private interpretation. They were not given by private interpretation, but holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of old, they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this Old Testament that we read about and read the words of these great prophets, it was the Holy Ghost that was moving upon them. And as the Holy Ghost would move, out of their mouth would come truth, the truth that is the Word of God. The scripture says this about prophecy: the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if you want to know what prophecy is all about, here it is. It's the testimony of Jesus. How many heard Jesus exalted in this house tonight? I mean, every song was exalting Jesus. Shout Jesus on the mountains. Shout Jesus in the streets. Everywhere we go, we need to be lifting up and magnifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you declare the testimony of Jesus, that is the spirit of prophecy. Every prophet of the Old Testament had in their mouth the testimony of Jesus, the reality that the Messiah is coming, the reality that God was going to become a man, that the everlasting Father would become the only begotten Son of the living God, that He would reverse the curse, that He would turn darkness to light, that He would raise the dead to live again, that He would bring streams in deserts, that He would cause the desert to blossom like a rose. One prophet after another, in their own unique way, would open up their mouth and declare what Jesus was going to do. That is the spirit of prophecy, and that is the Word of God. The prophets described the first coming of Jesus Christ. The apostles described the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. No matter where you read in this Bible, it is talking about Jesus. Someone said one time of apostolic Pentecostal preachers, they said, you know, apostolic Pentecostal preachers are very limited in what they can preach. They only have 6 or 7 different topics that they can even talk about. And they meant that in a derogatory way. They felt we were very narrow in our ability to present the Word of God because we had limited ourselves to just 6 or 7 topics. And I took great exception to that. I didn't appreciate that statement because it's not true. We haven't limited ourselves to 6 or 7 different topics. We have only one topic we can preach about. I don't know what other 5 or 6 he's talking about, because the only topic we can preach is the testimony of Jesus Christ. I don't get to talk about my preference. I don't get to talk about what my opinions are. I don't get to speculate. I don't get to conjecture. No, I don't get to opinionate. No, sir. No, ma'am. I've got one topic I get to preach about, and his name is Jesus. And if I'm preaching on Noah's Ark, I'm going to preach about Jesus. And if I'm preaching on baptism, you better believe I'm going to preach about Jesus. If I'm preaching on tithing, I'm going to preach about Jesus. If I'm preaching holiness, I'm going to preach Jesus. If I'm preaching worship, I'm going to preach Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. If I'm going to preach the gift of prophecy, rest assured, I'm preaching Jesus, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says that in Acts chapter 8, Philip came upon a place, a chariot that was standing still, and there was in it an Ethiopian eunuch who had open a scroll, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Lord said to Philip, he said, "Join thyself to this chariot." And so he went to the chariot, looks over his shoulder, and there he was reading the prophet Isaiah, where the scripture says, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and before his shearers, he was dumb like a sheep. And so the Ethiopian eunuch just kind of leaned in and said, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" And the guy said, "No, I really don't. And how can I understand it unless somebody who knows about it can kind of help me along and guide me?" And he said, well, let me share with you about what this is talking about. And the Bible says that he began at the same scripture and preached Jesus. Hallelujah. He began at the same scripture and preached Jesus. Now, Isaiah has a lot of messianic prophecy in his book. So some might rightly say, boy, it's a good thing he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. That way, Philip could just pick right up and preach unto him Jesus. But I submit to you that it didn't matter where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading that day that he was reading the word of God. Because any place he would have been reading, Philip would have began wherever he was and preached unto him Jesus. I mean, he could have been reading about a rock that Jacob laid his head upon, or a rock that David picked up out of a brook, or a rock out of which water did flow and quench the thirst of the Israelites, or a rock hewn out of a mountain without hands that broke down the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He could have been reading about Daniel's lion's den, or the lion that Samson killed, or the lion that David killed, or the lion of the tribe of Judah. He could have been reading about the Ark of Noah, or the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark that Moses was laid in the bulrushes. But Philip would have began wherever he was and preached unto him Jesus. This whole Bible is all about Jesus. This whole Bible is all about the fact that he's a healer. He's the Savior. He's the Deliverer. He's the Redeemer. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the first and the last. It's all about Jesus. Woo. Somebody ought to give him praise right now. This whole thing is about Jesus. I want you to know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and that Word was made flesh. Yes, he's in the beginning because he is the beginning. And I know, Job said, I know that on that latter day, my Redeemer lives, and he's going to stand on the latter day. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He is the first. He is the last. He which was and is to come, the Almighty. The sooner you realize this whole thing is about Jesus, the better. You can put your faith in him. You can be baptized into him, and all your sins will be washed away. Prophecy isn't spooky. Prophecy isn't scary. Prophecy isn't something that you need to shy from, feel intimidated by. Prophecy is simply the testimony of Jesus. It is the opening up of your mouth and declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he has all power in heaven and in earth, that his word is true. Hallelujah, that his mercies are sure. I'm just going to praise him, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if I'm going to preach as much as I am going to praise. His mercies from everlasting to everlasting. He will cast your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Hear what I'm telling you today. He's a mighty good God, and he is able to deliver you, and he's willing to deliver you. Put your faith in him. Put your trust in him. My God knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Oh, hallelujah. Something happens when you begin to speak his name, when you begin to declare his greatness among the people. There's a Holy Ghost power that begins to rise up when you begin to lift high the name of the Lord Jesus. We heard it a few moments ago, Sister Calix, when the singers sang the songs of Zion. Jesus, Jesus, just the mention of his name caused in this house the breath of God to flow. And I want you to know that he's here, and he's here right now, and he can break every chain, and he can heal your mind and heal your spirit. He can heal your body. What are you doing? I'm prophesying. I'm declaring the testimony of Jesus. If you believe it, you're going to make it. If you believe it, you're going to be all right. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the Lord appeared to Moses, appeared to Moses as a burning bush. The Bible says the angel of the Lord was in the flame of fire and spoke to him from the bush that did burn but was not consumed. Moses is probably the consummate prophet. He is like, he literally does typify the prophets. And so Moses is standing before this bush that is burning but not being consumed. And the Lord begins to speak to him, declaring his name to him. I am that great I am. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses has this amazing conversation with God where he describes his insecurities and he describes what makes him feel like he's inferior. And he explains to God why he doesn't think he can accomplish what the Lord has told him he can accomplish. And God begins to put his fears to rest. The Lord begins to unroot and unearth those fears and insecurities. And as God talks to him, Moses' confidence begins to build and he starts rising in his esteem of the call of God upon his life. That's what happens when you stand in the presence of God and have a one-on-one encounter with the Lord. He will vanquish your fears. He will remove your insecurities and you'll preach before people you never knew you could preach in front of. You'll testify to people you never knew you could testify in front of. You'll live for God in a way you didn't know you could live for God like that. Why? Because you had a one-on-one, up close and personal encounter with God. Check out those prophets in the Old Testament. That's the thing that sets them apart from the people in their generation. They had an encounter with God. Yes, they did. They heard his voice in the lowest moments of their life. If you're in a low moment of your life, oh, it's an opportunity for you to hear God. It's an opportunity for you to know God for yourself. God will reach down into your circumstances and make something of you you never knew he could make you. Moses walks away from there empowered, emboldened, on fire, hallelujah, anointed, walks into Pharaoh's court. Let my people go. He brings them out of Egypt. Many plagues unfold. Takes them across the Red Sea. Takes them to the mountain that God said, bring them to this mountain. And when Moses did, he said to the people, he said, I can't wait to introduce you to God. The God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've talked to him. I know we're hundreds of years removed from when anybody ever said they heard his voice, but I've heard his voice. I've talked with him. I know him, and I can't wait. He wants to know all of you the way he talked to me. And they look up at the mountain Moses points them to, and there's lightning, and there's thunder, and there's darkness. And there's tempest and vapors of smoke, and it's terrifying. And they said, you've lost your mind. I'm not going up into that mountain. You go up into that mountain. He said, no, I know it looks scary, but once you get past the stuff you don't understand, I know the volume is frightening, but if you just get past the stuff you don't understand. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I know we're Pentecostal, and I know we get loud, and I know we worship and we give God praise. And sometimes we get a little self-conscious of that because the world doesn't understand it, and they might mock it or even run from it. But we can't stop letting God be God. He's still God. And when he moves, there is a sound. I said, when he moves, there is a sound. And don't worry, they'll come on into it. And when they do, how many remember the first time you ever walked into a one God apostolic Pentecostal church service and wondered why everybody was so excited and why the preacher was sweating and why the preacher was yelling and you wondered what was going on? Listen, the glory of God will fall. And when the glory of God begins to fall, nobody worries about the volume. Nobody worries about how strange it feels to the flesh. He said, just go on through the things you don't understand. There's glory in there. And they said, nope, you do it. And so Moses did. And God said to Moses, Moses said, God, they won't come. They don't want anything to do with you. And God said, all right, then I will give you my word. And then you give my word to the people. That's where we get the law of Moses. The law of Moses is just simply the law of God via Moses. It was never supposed to be via Moses. It was always supposed to be one-on-one with God. He was going to inscribe it in their hearts. But because they would not come into his presence, they would not come into proximity with him, he had to inscribe it upon stones and give it to them in that way. And so it turned into something that they just read the list and tried so hard to live up to the expectations of the list. It was never supposed to be an external list. It was always supposed to be an internal mandate, an internal conviction, an internal faith, an internal conviction and consecration. And so Moses comes down from the mountain and hands it out, and he didn't like it. He didn't enjoy that. He didn't like leading that way. He wanted them to know God the way he knew God. God wanted them to know him the way he knew Moses. As a matter of fact, Moses received the law. Do you know the celebration of that moment is called Pentecost? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason that they celebrate that day, because what God did to those tablets of stone on Mount Sinai is exactly what he did to the hearts of those gathered in the upper room when he filled them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. So Moses is leading, and the Bible says that he got too much for Moses. Moses couldn't do it all. He just couldn't do it all. He was burning out because he was trying to help everybody with everything, and there were way too many people and problems than what Moses could handle. And his father-in-law came along, and his father-in-law said, this isn't good. You're going to burn yourself out. You're burning the candle at both ends. And so he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to appoint 70 elders. God began to move upon Moses, appoint 70 elders. And so the 70 elders came together, and God had Moses to impart his spirit to these 70 elders. And when Moses imparted his spirit to these 70 elders, they started prophesying. Now, Moses was the prophet. He was the one that prophesied. God told Aaron and Miriam, look, he said, I speak to some in dreams, I speak to some in visions, but not Moses. I speak with him face to face. But on this day, there were 70 elders who were of a good report, people who Moses and God selected, and here they are. And when the spirit of Moses came on them, the same connection he had with God, they were going to have with God, and they started prophesying. And it was amazing to people to see all these people prophesying and not just Moses. In fact, it got so real and so hot and so heavy that there were two guys that weren't among the 70. They start prophesying. And they weren't even in the mix. Their names were Medad and Eldad. Must have been born on Father's Day. I don't know why they're... Medad and Eldad. Or they just, something gets on them and they open up their mouth and they start prophesying. And the people who observed it, they didn't like it. So they run to Moses and they say to Moses, hey, Medad and Eldad, they're prophesying. Like there's some big stuff now. So they're prophesying. You got these 70 that are prophesying. That's fine. But now Medad and Eldad think they can prophesy. And Moses looks at them. They're expecting Moses to charge over there and put Medad and Eldad in their place. But Moses looks at them to their astonishment and says to them, what do you want me to do about it? I would that you all prophesy. I'm not shutting that down. I want them to prophesy. I want them to open up their mouth and declare the word of the Lord. Maybe you've never seen them do this before, but you better get ready. It's going to become more common than it has been in the past. For people you don't expect to open up their mouth and declare the testimony of Jesus, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And you don't have to have a big pedigree, and you don't have to come from a big family that's been in the church for generations. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you need to prophesy. Woo! Come on. The New Testament pastor is not Moses. We don't stand between you and God as a mediator. There is one God and there is one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. We have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Thank God for our pastors. Thank God for our pastors who labor in word and doctrine, who lead us into green pastures, who show us the way of salvation and have rule over us in the name of the Lord. But what they want you to do is to get a hold of God like they've got a hold of God. They want you to walk with God. They want you to stand before that burning bush and hear his name for yourself. I'm gonna tell you, I can tell you who he is, but until he speaks his name in your heart, it's not gonna have the same impact. And when he speaks to you, hallelujah, when he reveals his oneness, his grace, his mercy, flesh and blood hath not revealed this. Now I can sweat and scream, I can preach, I can perspire, but hear what I'm telling you, only God can reveal it. And when God reveals it, it's going to be like a fire shut up in your bones, and you're going to have to let it out. I said, you are going to have to let it out. Come on, young person. Go tell it on the mountain. Tell it in the valley low. Tell it in the youth group. Tell it in the high school. Tell it in the P7 club. Tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it. Prophesy! Hallelujah. Declare the word of the Lord. The Bible says that the Lord said, as the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, God said, let there be light. And there was light. One of the first things we know about God is that he spoke. And then God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, the one that he made in his own image. And the first thing man did as he became a living soul, man began to speak. We speak because we're made in the image of God. We open up our mouth and we speak. That's what we do. And when God spoke, things were created. And when we speak, things are created. I'm going to tell you, the largest, most expansive corporation in our world started as a thought. And that thought became a word. And that word was made flesh. It may be as large as a corporation. It may be small as an impression, but something is always created when we speak. This is why every idle word that we speak is going to be called into judgment. And we are going to give account even for the idle words that come out of our mouth. What you say is so vitally important. Don't just be careful about what you say. Be intentional about what you say. Be deliberate about what you say. Don't be flippant. Don't be careless. Don't be happenstantial. Open up your mouth and declare the testimony of Jesus over everything you say, everything you do, every place you go. There ought to be a praise down deep on the inside of you. Every word you speak is a prophecy. You get to decide what you're prophesying. The power of life and death is in the tongue. The tongue is an unruly evil. It is the most unruly member of the body. Listen to what the Bible says. It is full of poison. The Bible said that it sets on fire the course of nature. The Bible said that it is set on fire of hell. That's your tongue. It's full of deadly poison. It's jagged. It's razor sharp. And it slices and it dices and it sets things in motion that you don't even know were set in motion. And there were things people set in motion in your life. And you believed a false prophecy. And even some false prophecies can come to pass if you believe them. But this is why when we repent of our sins and are baptized in Jesus' name, when the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, we do speak in an unknown tongue because our tongue is yielded then to the Holy Ghost. The reason our tongue is yielded to the Holy Ghost is because God takes control of the whole body through the tongue. But I want you to know when we get the Holy Ghost, we don't just speak in unknown tongues. We speak in new tongues. Now, I know speaking unknown tongues. I know we speak in an unknown tongue and we speak in languages we don't know, tongues of men and of angels. We speak in unknown tongues, but we don't just speak in unknown tongues. We speak in new tongues. In other words, our vocabulary changes when we become a new creature and we belong to the new Jerusalem and we're headed for a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. And we're in a new covenant because of a new testament. Hallelujah. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things, including the way we talk, all things become new. You can't have both blessing and cursing coming out of your mouth. The same fountain doesn't need to bring forth blessing for God and cursing of men who are made after the similitude of God. It's not possible. Your tongues need to change. It's time to change your tongues. It's time to speak with the new tongues of the kingdom. New tongues of the kingdom, that's a soft answer that turns away wrath. New tongues of the kingdom, that's your speech being always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. The new tongues of the kingdom, this is when you bless and curse not. New tongues of the kingdom, this is when you praise the Lord with all of your heart. It's time to recognize the power that's in your tongue. Brother Nutter, I decided a long time ago that I'm not going to be a victim of my circumstances. I'll prophesy my way out of it if I have to. I said I will prophesy my way out of those circumstances because it doesn't matter what's going on around me. The testimony of Jesus has not changed. God is good. He is worthy to be praised. I'm going to be all right. My family is going to be blessed. The kingdom is going to be advanced. The Lord, He is good. His mercy is everlasting. I'm going to tell you, these chains are going to break off of me. Hallelujah. All things work together for the good. I'm prophesying. It's time that you begin to use this gift that God has given to the church. The enemy uses it against us. He tries to intimidate us with words. He tries to intimidate us, as Sister Sophia so eloquently said, that he tries to bring intimidation to us because he's intimidated by us. He knows if you ever find out what you've got right here, if you start using this, hallelujah, to magnify the Lord, to exalt the goodness of God, to declare the testimony of Jesus. If you start using your tongue to the glory of God, there is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. Speak life, speak life, speak power, speak glory. Some of you are still bound by false prophecies. People telling you you would never amount to anything. People telling you that you would never make it or succeed. people telling you that you would never advance in your career, or you would never advance in education, or you would never advance in ministry. Stop dreaming. Stop thinking somebody like you could ever become whatever it is you're trying to become. I rebuke every one of those ungodly, filthy lies of the devil right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Be free. Be free. Be free in Jesus' name. You begin to speak life. I am anointed. I am blessed. I prosper in the Lord. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come and when I go. I'll tear down every stronghold. No weapon formed against me can prosper. If God be for me, who can be against me? You need to start being intentional now. Don't wait for life to unfold. Begin to speak the glory and the goodness of God over your life. Hallelujah. Over your marriage. I'm not married. Over your marriage. Do it now. Pray for them now. Be faithful to them now. And declare the word of the Lord into your marriage, into your ministry, into your youth group. Listen, when something bad happens, I'm not talking about the bad thing that happens. I'm sorry. I'm not giving occasion to the devil. I'm not giving place to the devil. Well, somebody messed up. Somebody made a mistake. This is happening and that's happening. I'm not opening my mouth to gossip. That's a powerful tool I have here. This is a powerful weapon, and I'm not going to use it to tear my brothers and sisters down. Listen, sarcoma is a cancerous tumor. Sarcasm is a cancerous humor. And they both attack the body. You need to let God wipe the sarcasm out of your mouth. Wipe the sarcasm out of your spirit. Take the envy out of your spirit. Take that feeling, that edge that you've got. You need to spend some time before the bush that burns, but it's not consumed. And let God put His word in your mouth. I don't care what happened in our youth group. God is great and greatly to be praised, and we're going to have revival. It doesn't matter who messed up, what they did. I'm not talking about that. God is great, and we're going to have revival. We're going to see many souls saved. I'm going to magnify. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Listen to what the Bible said. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Maybe not always in my feelings, but in my mouth. I may limp to the pulpit. I may be stressed out, wounded, battered, and broken. But the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. I will prophesy the goodness of the Lord. I'll speak it till I see it. I'll declare it till it is done. I said I will declare it until it is done. I had a great grandmother. God bless her heart. Grandma Lovinger, great grandma. She was my mom's grandmother. Precious saint of God. Her mother was great, great grandma French, the prayer warrior of Calvary Tabernacle in Indianapolis, Indiana. Back in the 30s and 40s, they would call great, great grandma French to pray for the sick. And they would bring the sick to the church. They'd call great, great grandma French. And she would come out of her house talking in tongues. And she'd walk down to the sidewalk, live just down the street from the church. And she'd walk down to the church talking in tongues and pleading the blood of Jesus. Talking in tongues and pleading the blood of Jesus. Many times, the sick were healed before she got there. But they would take the sick to great-great-grandma French before they took the sick to the doctor. her daughter was my great-grandma Lovinger. And great-grandma Lovinger would pull me in anytime, and it did not matter. Anytime I saw her. All of my life. She passed away when I was 14 years old. From the time I can remember till the time I was 14 years old, she would pull me in. And Brother Bounds, she would say to this to me, she would say, many are called, but few are chosen. And you are chosen. And she'd pat my head and say, God love him. God love him. God bless him. You are chosen. I don't even know if I was chosen, but I started believing it. And the more she said it, the more I believed it. The more she spoke it, the more I thought it. She started speaking something into my spirit. You are chosen. You are chosen. You are chosen. And today, when I'm a pastor in the kingdom of God, and God has called me to do a work for him, and when the enemy rises up and tries to speak a word against the work of the Lord, I hear that little voice come back. You are chosen. You are chosen. You are chosen. When the devil tries to tell me, I can't make it. You can't. That work can't be done. You can't get that done. I am chosen. I am chosen. I'm anointed for this. God has put his hand on me. God has anointed me. I'm not afraid of the enemy. Hallelujah. He may come against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against him in the name of the Lord of the hosts of Israel, with the spirit of prophecy, with the testimony of Jesus Christ. Open up your mouth and declare it. Ha! Hallelujah. When you get married, never utter the word divorce. Never. Never even mention it. Leave that devil out of your marriage. Don't even mention it. You use your tongue deliberately, intentionally. When your children act up, don't come at them with a false accusation. Come at them with the loving admonition of the Lord. Don't join in the chorus of the devil. He is the accuser of the brethren. Don't lay your hand upon someone and accuse. Lay your hand upon somebody and begin to slander. Don't do that. You're giving occasion to the enemy of the church. Instead, open up your mouth and use your tongue for the love of God, for the goodness of God, for the declaration of the gospel. Build somebody up. Walk up to somebody. Hear what I'm telling you. Walk up to somebody and tell them, regardless of what it looks like, and say this, because this is true. God has great plans for you. That is true. And you'd be shocked as to how many people have never had that said to them in their life. It is up to us. We are the ones who have the gift of prophecy. We are the ones who must not neglect the gift that was given us by prophecy. So many of the gifts I have, they came from people who declared God in my life. There was a man by the name of John Red Fuller. John Red Fuller was a prisoner. When he was a young man, very young man, he and a friend were burglarizing a home. And while they were burglarizing the home, the woman of the house came in unexpectedly. It startled John Red Fuller. He turned and fired a weapon at her, and he killed her. He spent hard time in prison. While he was there, he killed many people. He was an executioner. You didn't mess with John Red Fuller. They called him Red because his hair was red and because he had shed so much blood. He was a terrible, demon-possessed man. He was horrible in every way you can imagine. But there was an old blind preacher that would go to that prison in Tennessee, and he would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ every week. And after he would finish preaching, the infamy of John Red Fuller had traveled throughout the region. And he would say to the prison guards, take me to John Red Fuller. And he was in solitary confinement. They said, nobody wants to see John Red Fuller. I want to talk to John Red Fuller. And this old blind preacher would be led down to John Red Fuller's prison. And when he'd get to his cell, he'd grab a hold of the bars. Couldn't see anything. Thank God for blind preachers who don't see what everybody else sees, who aren't intimidated by what everybody else is intimidated by. He would open up his mouth every week and say, John Fuller, God is going to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And John Fuller would curse him. Get out of here, preacher. Nobody wants to see you, blind preacher. And the man would walk down the way and limp away from where John Fuller was. And the next week he'd come back and finish his service and say, I want to see John Fuller. And he would be led down to John Fuller's cell. And he'd grab a hold of those bars and cry as loud as he could. John Fuller, God is going to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And here came the cursing, and here came the swearing, and all of the insults, and the badgering, and the man would walk away. And week after week after week after week, God is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God is going to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And cursing and cursing. Listen, prophesy in the midst of the cursing. Prophesy in the midst of the insults. Prophesy in the midst of disagreement. Prophesy. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Thou knowest, Lord. Prophesy to these bones. Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy. In the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thy hand. Prophesy. God is going to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Until one day, John Fuller said, I want to go. I want to go to that service if I could. He went down to that service. Went in just to get this old man off his back. He went into a meeting one night, and his heart wasn't right. But something got a hold of John Fuller. He lifted up his hands and began to repent of all his sins. They baptized him in Jesus' name. He received the gift of the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. When he did, the old blind preacher went over to his briefcase and he opened it and pulled something out. It was a gift that he had made for John Fuller, and he handed it to him. It was a Bible, and on the front cover of the Bible were inscribed the words, Reverend John Fuller. He said, you're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know John Fuller started preaching the gospel inside the prison? And the people who once fled from him for fear of their lives, he was now leading them to altars of repentance. They were receiving the Holy Ghost. He was baptizing them in Jesus' name. He was casting out devils inside the prison. The Tennessee District Board of the United Pentecostal Church International came to Brushy Mountain State Prison and licensed John Fuller behind bars to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The parole board released him after 25 years because it was clear he was a changed man. And he came out of that prison preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's power in prophesying the word of the Lord. Don't you be a victim of your circumstances. Cry loud and spare not. Open up your mouth and say, I'm anointed of God. I am chosen. He sought me. He bought me. He filled me. He anointed me and appointed me. I'm here on purpose, not by accident. Somebody believe it. Lift up your hands and believe it right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your hands all across this building and believe it in the name of Jesus. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Ah, hallelujah. I'm going to give you a weapon, okay? Here it is. You ready? I'm going to give you a weapon to use. I'm done. You can stand to your feet. I'm done. Listen, I'm going to give you a weapon to use right now. The Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You can't believe it in your heart until you confess it with your mouth. If you don't believe it in your heart, here's how you believe it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. If the devil has so thoroughly persuaded you that your life is pointless and meaningless, I want you right now to open up your mouth and say, I have purpose. I am anointed. God has plans for my life. God is going to use me for His glory. You are chosen. You are chosen. You are chosen. You are chosen. Believe that. Believe that. Believe it with all of your heart. Confess it with your mouth. Confess it with your mouth. My youth group is going to grow. My high school is going to have revival. Believe it. Confess it till you believe it. If you don't believe it yet, keep confessing it. Keep confessing it. Confess it with your mouth. Until you believe it in your heart. And when you believe it in your heart, I'm going to tell you, nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing, nothing, nothing shall be impossible to you. Woo! Glory, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your purpose. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. I want to give you another tool here to use. The power of prophetic praise. Prophetic praise. See, when we praise God, we're not just praising Him for the things He has done. We do that, but that's not all we do. We're praising Him for the things He's going to do. Shut up. Man, I get excited. I'll shout about what He's done, but you watch out when I start thinking about what He's going to do. Woo! When you open up your mouth and begin to say, God, thank you for saving my family. God, thank you for breaking these chains. God, I give you praise for making a way where there seems to be no way. There's power in prophetic praise. See, here's how praise works, and I'm coming to a close, but here's how praise works. The power of our praise is not in our emotion. We get emotional. How many get emotional when you praise God? You get emotional when you praise. You don't want to know why? It's very easy. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. I get emotional when I think of His goodness. But the power of my praise is not in my emotion. It's not in how high I jump or how fast I dance or how hard I can clap. No, no. It's not in my emotion. That's not the power of my praise. The power of my praise is in the truth I say about God. That's the power of my praise. Because every time I declare His truth, I subdue the devil's lies. The devil said God doesn't exist. Lord, you are real. The devil said, God isn't one. Lord, you are one, the one true and living God. The devil said, you're not going to be healed. Lord, I thank you for my healing. Let me tell you this. Let me give you another tool. Is it all right? Can I talk about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds? Let me give you a little tool here to use in your spiritual warfare. If the devil says it, the opposite is true. Because he's a liar, and God, it's impossible for God to lie, but the devil, it's impossible for him to tell the truth. So if he said you're going to lose, you're going to win. If he said you're going to fail, you're going to succeed. If he said you're going to die, you're going to live. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible said we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing. The devil always operates in high places and high things because it gives him an advantage over us. And he looks down on us in our natural state. And we lean on carnal weapons and carnal methods. And he just laughs at us because he's got this high ground. The power of your praise is when you declare the truth of God. Because as you lift God higher, You're lifting him higher than the high things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. So as I praise him, I'm lifting him higher. Anybody ever heard the preacher say, go ahead and lift him higher? Because we're lifting him higher than the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And so if I'm in Christ, and I'm in Christ, if you're in Christ, when you lift God higher, guess what? You go higher too, because you're in him. It's like an elevator. You get in the elevator and you push the top button on the top floor, and the elevator takes you as high as it can go. And when you get to the top, it was the elevator that went up, but you were in the elevator, so you went up too. You step out of the elevator, look out the window, and you're looking down on things that used to look down on you. That's the power of your praise. When you begin to declare, Jesus is my healer, you're going a little higher. Jesus is my Savior, a little higher. Jesus is my deliverer, a little higher. Shatarabahaya. Jesus will break every chain a little higher. Higher than the fear. Higher than the depression. Higher than the anxiety. Higher. Lift Jesus higher until he is the most high God in your life. Somebody do it right now, from the side to this side. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him higher. Higher than the depression. Higher than the sickness. Higher than the loneliness. Higher than the suicidal thought. Higher, higher. Lift Jesus higher. Somebody step out of your seat right now and run to this front with a praise in your mouth, with praise on your tongue, with worship to the Lord in your mouth. Speak it, speak it, confess it with your mouth, confess it with your mouth, confess it with your mouth.